Hi, everybody. Now, this might be a bit of a different Fringy Mini in that this is an important Wednesday in culturally European, I think. Not quite the right way to say it. The culturally Christian community, as it is the day of, I don't even know how to say it, Chelsea. It's the winter solstice. People say that Jesus was born this day. He clearly wasn't, but it's the winter solstice and the Christians hijacked it.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to say it.
Okay, good. Now, anyhow, because it's a more important Wednesday than all the other Wednesdays, yes, Wednesdays, I am sorry, but that's how it works. We have a longer mini, and in fact, it might not even be really classified as a mini for how long this will be, but that's okay. What we have here is a few articles about this particular day that's just a little bit of fun for us to all work through the holidays with. Now, Chelsea, I'm going to let you start this one just so that we have a good alternating pattern here.
Okay. My first mini, I guess we could call it, is... Why are there so many pop-ups on this goddamn website? From mirror.co.uk. That took a little bit to get out properly. Ewan Gliado. December 22nd, 2023. You may see more UFOs and aliens around Christmas for very bizarre explanation. That's not proper English, but let's get into the article. Christmas may be the most wonderful time of the year for some, but for others, it is a time when alien life shows up, it is reported. December sightings of what say are...
Those are the only two options. Wonderful time of year or aliens show up.
Yes. Seem more common than they do at any other time of year. And there is good reason for this. With the English in this is atrocious. There is good reason for this, with fireworks and light spectacles flagged up more often than not, according to the UFO Reporting Center Technical Director Christian Stepien. Twice a year, the company sees a slight uptick in potential sightings, and the holiday season certainly heralds its fair share of alleged alien encounters. Speaking to the Daily Beast at the time, Ron James of the Mutual UFO Network said, "We do have a slight uptick twice a year in the summer and around the holidays. There are a few reasons why people might be paying more attention. They might be off work, they're doing family activities and things they don't normally do, so there's more possibilities for people to encounter things. Then, of course, there's always Santa Claus and the reindeer." Not even sure what that means. If there is an uptick, I can understand that because...
Well, they're up there.
Yeah, exactly. People just report them as a UFO. Because there's a lot of people out during Christmas time shopping and doing things. They might be looking up in the air, so I can understand if it's there. I can understand it if there is. Further research from Ufology reported a significant increase on Christmas Day, with 75 reported cases over 2021 alone. Chris Rutkowski of Ufology said, "Most were simply lights in the sky, and yes, some were of a single red light flying overhead, followed by a string of others. Historic sightings around the holiday period have been reported as early as Christmas 1965.
This Christmas tradition only goes back 60 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
As early as 1965. Could you imagine if it was the year zero?
This goes back as far as Jesus. His birthday.
Yep.
And always remember, you don't have to get him both a Christmas present and a birthday present.
Yeah, you just choose what one.
Yeah, you tell him, it's for both.
And incense is really cheap, so that's probably the best birthday/Christmas present.
Yeah, I mean, you could get him some myrrh too. I'm pretty sure that's pretty cheap.
Exactly. That's what I'm going for. Wally Schreira Jr., who was aboard the Gemini 6 spacecraft orbiting Earth, claims to have seen an object heading from north to south, entering and re-entering the atmosphere. He wrote at the time, "We have an object, looks like satellite going from north to south, probably in polar orbit. Looks like he might be going to re-enter soon. It might just let me pick up that thing." Fellow aviation expert Thomas Stafford said, "I see a command module and 8 smaller modules in front. The pilot of the command module is wearing a red suit." Do you think this was maybe sarcasm or like light humor?
It could be sarcasm. It could be the, what's the satellite that's supposed to go north-south?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember the freaking name.
So funny, I just watched a video
Black Knight, the other day.
Black Knight, yeah. But this is Christmas Day, and this guy's clearly alluding that it's Santa. So...
Yeah. No, what he was seeing was just the Black Knight satellite. Don't worry, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Wally and Thomas' time on the spacecraft and alleged extraterrestrial sighting caused chaos in the control room. But the duo soon revealed their ruse as Aviator Wally began playing Jingle Bells on his harmonica. Mr. Stafford said, Wally came up with the idea. He could play the harmonica, and we practiced 2 or 3 times before we took off. But of course we didn't tell the guys on the ground. In the case of practical and actual sightings of UFOs during the festive season, Ron James added, my feeling is that there's not that there's an actual increase in phenomenon occurring. It's more that there's more people in a position to see and experience things that might already be there pretty much consistently. That's the end of the article, and not sure how I feel about that. The okay. English was off.
Yeah, it was off.
They mixed in some humor with actually people are home more during the holidays, so they're more apt to actually see something.
I agree. And not only are they home more during the holidays, but they're awake more during night hours during the holidays too, which was what I was going to say, as like that probably explains it. But at the same time too, they said there's 2 upticks throughout the year, and one's in the summer, so that like completely throws everything off for me.
Yeah. And then mixed in with the guys on the spacecraft just like having fun and saying they saw Santa, and it like they were just making a joke because one guy could play the harmonica, which is good enough reason to do that, I guess. If you have a friend that plays the harmonica, I mean, why not?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Chelsea,
What was missing from there? I really thought
it's actual stories of people seeing things during the holidays, other than a fake story.
The Christmas star, the star that's brighter around Christmas time. That's what I thought they're gonna say people were
what
seeing.
What star is brighter around Christmas?
I can't remember what one it. There's the brighter star, one that led the donkey to small one.
Small one, yeah.
To the major, right?
So there's not actually like a star that is brighter at Christmas.
Yeah, there is.
No, there isn't. There's been things that have been nicknamed the Christmas star, but it's because like in one particular year they were brighter at the Christmas season. Generally they're planets. So it's weird.
I thought
calling
there
them
is
stars,
a real Christmas star.
But no, there's no actual Christmas star as far as I'm aware. The listeners, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
During the winter.
No. And we will just leave this silence here. Okay. Chelsea, I felt like my Christmas stories or news articles are going to probably play a little bit into our year-end wrap-up in that they're definitely things that we've talked about in the past.
Okay.
And I think you're going to be really happy here because we are going to delve into the lives of the rich and the British, and that being the royal family.
Oh, on the Christmas mini?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Kate Middleton can't wait to get rid of Queen Elizabeth's, quote, weird, end quote, Christmas tradition.
What is it?
This comes from MSN.com, written by staff author on November 26th of 2024. Here we go. Middleton fully intends to get rid of the tradition in favor of a more, quote, middle class, unquote, holiday. The royal family has hundreds of years worth of Christmas traditions, but that doesn't mean the modern royal family necessarily enjoys these customs. In fact, Kate Middleton isn't a fan of one of Queen Elizabeth's long-standing Christmas Eve plans, and fully intends on getting rid of it once she and Prince William sit upon the throne. Dating back to the 1800s, the British royal have opened gifts on Christmas Eve as opposed to Christmas Day. After the tradition was introduced by Queen Victoria and her German husband, Prince Albert, in the 1800s. Elizabeth reportedly loved this habit, a source told the Daily Beast in October, because she, quote, disliked extravagant and overt expressions of consumerism and preferred Christmas Day to be a sacred note, end quote. The Princess of Wales, however, would much rather do things differently and has her own Christmas traditions in mind. Kate has always found the presents on Christmas Eve thing weird. She's definitely going to get rid of it when they're officially running things. I imagine it will continue this year as Sandringham in some shape or form. Everything is going to be much more relaxed and have a middle-class flavor at Anner Hall. You can bet your bottom dollar they will be doing proper presents for each other and the kids there on Christmas Day, end quote. a source close to the Prince and Princess of Wales told the outlet. Middleton's Christmas is stacked this year. The princess will be hosting her annual... You know what? We can skip that. That's all of it. You know what? To be fair, I thought this article was going to be a bit more. And I thought that they were going to say that Prince Andrew can't go near the kids anymore. That was it.
That'd be nice. That would be a good weird tradition to get rid of.
That one where Prince Andrew just... Sorry, British Andy gets to go into that room alone with all the minors. But apparently he still gets to do that. Also, I should state that's not actually what happens. That's just a fun opinion of the podcast.
Yeah, I love that opinion. Okay, so that means it's me. I'm going to read from Guardian.com. And this one is titled, Mystery Toy Gnomes, Maybe Burglary Ploy, Welsh Police Warn.
That is a great title.
No. Thank you. Steve Morris, September 5th, 2023. There are plenty of very sensible and pretty conventional crime prevention tips on North Wales Police's website, from making sure windows are secure to planting prickly hedges on boundaries to deter thieves. Never heard that one before.
The police need to do that?
No, that's what they're telling will deter from, like, burglaries.
Okay.
Roses probably work too, rose bushes.
I thought that punishment really didn't stop crime.
I would also probably, if they're listening to this podcast, moats would be a good idea too, I think.
Fill them with some crocodiles.
They're my favorite animal. But this week, officers issued some more unusual advice. Keep an eye out for the cuddly Christmas gnomes that have begun appearing in front gardens. Police believe the heavily bearded soft toys are being left not as thoughtful if out of season gifts, but by burglars who are trying to test whether homes are empty. If the gnome is not moved, burglars work on the basis that the householder is probably not around and their home is a decent target. The gnomes began appearing on September 1st when two men said to be carrying Royal Mail-style bags were spotted in Broughton, Flintshire. They were reportedly looking at properties and placing items into residents' gardens, including gnomes. The sightings were flagged up on the North of Wales Community Alert page. Officers have now posted on the police's South Flintshire Facebook page explaining what may be going on. Quote, we are aware of a report of individuals in the Broughton area leaving Christmas gnomes in residential front gardens. This type of behavior is sometimes used as a calling card to see if the gnome is collected by the resident. End quote, they said. Requote, if not, the property is likely to be empty and could be an easy target for burglaries. We would advise residents to be vigilant and ensure your home is secure. End quote, I have read 5 articles in the last year.
You better watch out. They might not let you in soon, Chelsea.
See, if I saw a gnome in my garden, I
guess the real question,
like,
is...
I feel like I would question, has that always been there? I don't recall if I put that there or not.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, if they're placing it well, I would be in a position where, like, well, that's just like the good feng shui of the garden. I can't move the gnome. Lest they take their ire out on the garden itself and or me.
Exactly. Because it's a gnome.
Yeah. Well, like, they're close relatives of the Nisa. And Nisas are fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah. We've done an episode on those guys. And maybe you just leave it as to not piss off the earth spirit.
Yeah, I think I've also screwed my child over a little in that all the, like, Christmas gnomes I've seen everywhere, he asks me what they are and I tell them they're Nisas, and, like, nobody's gonna know what that is.
Except yours.
Yeah.
That's good for him, though. You're doing
it's good for him. He needs to know these things.
Exactly.
But yeah, like, I really hope that the thief, the operator of the gnome, isn't that well, like, oriented in, like, where a gnome should be placed in a garden or in a yard, so that, like, people are like, oh yeah, that's a nice gnome in my yard, and then they got robbed.
Okay, so you would think this thieves aren't, like, placing it nicely and feng shui in your garden,
means
so
wind water.
That you think that I was trying to put it in, you know, the term that as an action, feng shui in your garden. So that you're like, yeah, that looks really nice. Instead, they probably should just be, like, chucking it into your yard so that it's, like...
Oh, yeah, like, falling over.
In your yard. though, that you have to go pick it up and be like, exactly what is this doing here? Should I put it back in my garden? Or what's going on here? That's what they mean.
That's actually a fair point.
I'm just picturing them placing it nicely in a garden.
Yeah, no, now that I think about it, they probably don't even lay them, like, standing in the yard.
Hmm.
Because then somebody like feels like they at least have to stand it up should they feel that the gnome feels wronged.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do normal people feel that gnomes get wronged? Because I do. I feel like they feel wronged.
Yeah. They want to be next to a rock, mostly, I think. But I think I was picturing it the same way you were, where someone was like placing it nicely in the garden so that it looked as if it was a part of the garden.
You think they look in the back of their like white passenger van and like, oh, this gnome deserves to be here. Like, look, it just fits with that flowing water and the lilies and that mushroom there.
He wants to be here next to this tree. He's in the shade, like he's gonna thrive in this location.
Okay, I'm glad we thought the same thing here.
We were at the same page.
Okay, Chelsea, now I'm going to finish this off. We're going to go with a more religious route for this heathenist of holidays, which is the birth of Christ. But not really. But yeah. Yeah.
My faith is going to be pretty religious.
This came out on November 28th, 2024. Article title, AI Jesus, Avatar Tests Man's Faith in Machines and the Divine.
What?
It's on MSN.com, and it was written by Jamie Keaton.
Did I hear all those words correctly?
Yes. Well, sorry, I don't actually know, but I'm going to read the story anyways. Okay. As if you did. Would you trust an AI Jesus with your innermost thoughts and troubles?
Maybe.
Researchers and religious leaders on Wednesday released findings from a 2-month experiment through Art in a Catholic Chapel in Switzerland, where an avatar of Jesus on a computer screen, tucked into a confessional, took questions by visitors on faith, morality, and modern-day woes, and offered responses based on scripture. The idea said the chapel's theological assistant was to recognize the growing importance of artificial intelligence in human lives, even when it comes to religion, and explore the limits of human trust in a machine. After the 2-month run of the Deus in Machina exhibit at Peter's Chapel starting in late August, some 900 conversations from visitors, some came more than once, were transcribed anonymously. Those behind the project said it was largely a success. Visitors often came out moved or deep in thought and found easy to use. A small sign invited visitors to enter a confessional, chosen for its intimacy, and below a lattice screen across which penitent believers would usually speak with a priest. A green light signaled the visitors' turn to speak, and a red one came on when AI Jesus on a computer screen on the other side was responding. Often a lag time was needed to wait for the response, a testament to the technical complexities. After exiting, nearly 300 visitors filled out questionnaires that informed the report released Wednesday. Philip Hasselbauer, an IT specialist at the Lucerne University of Applied Sciences and Art, who pulled together the technical side of the project, said the AI responsible for taking the role of AI Jesus and generating responses was GPT-4o by OpenAI, and an open source version of the company's Whisper was used for speech comprehension. An AI video generator from Hagen, was used to produce voice and video from a real person, he said. Hasselbauer said no specific safeguards were used because we observed GPT-4o to respond fairly well to controversial topics. Visitors broached many topics including true love, the afterlife, feelings of solitude, war and suffering in the world, the existence of God, plus issues like sexual abuse cases in the Catholic Church, or its position on homosexuality. Most visitors described themselves as Christians, although agnostics, atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, and Taoists took part too, according to a recap of the project released by the Catholic parish of Lucerne. About 1/3 were German speakers, but AI Jesus, which is conversant in about 100 languages, also had conversations in languages like Chinese, English, French, Hungarian, Italian, Russian, and Spanish. Although it's not said in the article, but none of those conversations were as true as the German topics.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like everybody else. That's Jesus' true language.
Yeah, obviously.
quote, "What was really interesting was to see that the people really talked with him in a serious way. They didn't come to make jokes," end quote, said chapel theologian Marco Schmid, who spearheaded the project. Most visitors were aged 40 to 70, and more Catholic respondents found the experience stimulating than did Protestants, the reports showed. Oh man, we can talk about that later on. Schmid was quick to point out that AI Jesus billed as a Jesus-like persona was an artistic experiment to get people thinking about the intersection between the digital and the divine, not substitute for human interaction or sacramental confessions with a priest, nor was it intended to save the pastoral resources. Quote, "For the people, it was clear it was a computer. It was clear it was not a confession. He wasn't programmed to give absolutions or prayers. At the end, it was more summary of the conversation," said Schmid. The Catholic Church, from the Vatican on down, has been wrestling with challenges and possible opportunities presented by the experience explosion in public interest in AI since generative artificial intelligence captured the world's attention 2 years ago when OpenAI's ChatGPT came into the world. The Vatican has appointed a friar from a medieval Franciscan order as its top expert on AI. And a Lutheran church in Bavaria served up sermons delivered by chatbots last year. Pope Francis is, in his annual peace message for this year, pushed for an international treaty to ensure the ethical use of AI technology. I think that's far enough. I think we're going to just, from there, talk about things that we've already done.
I wonder how Friar Benotti feels about this and if he spearheaded this.
As far as I can tell, he has not. I specifically looked for his input on this and I could not find any new articles in the last 4 months. So clearly nobody's talked to him about this, but I was really hoping I could find something from him. But yeah, I think that's a fun use of AI. And I think it actually makes sense training something on the Bible and then asking for its opinion on a question with only knowing the Bible would actually give you a decent response, would it not?
You would think so. I don't know. I didn't ask it any questions. Yeah. I think it's funny that they stored the questions. I would like to see the most popular question. I know they kind of said what the range of questions was.
Oh, by far, how big's your dick, Jesus? Like, you know it. You know it.
I wonder what the answer is based on the Bible.
I know. And we didn't read the whole article. Maybe they get into it at some point, but not how far we got, nor am I actually going to look to see if they answered it. So you guys can go read it.
Fair enough. Interesting. I really need this to wash over me. I need some time to process everything that you just said. That one took me by surprise a little bit. I'm still stuck at AI Jesus.
I still don't know how to feel about it. Because on the one hand, I really don't like AI taking all facets of life from us. But at the same time, I feel like this is actually an interesting spot to put AI.
Yeah, it is.
And that
it's more Jesus than a pastor is going to be.
Exactly. Because a pastor is going to have their opinion on things and tell you specifically certain scriptures.
Yeah.
And especially over the last 80 years, there's been a move. They've moved from actual teachings of Christ to the prosperity gospel, which is basically the people who have money deserve to have money because they're successful. They're inherently good because they have money, which is exactly against Jesus's teachings.
Yeah.
But it's been the movement in Christianity for like almost 100 years now, at least in North America. So to see it just coming from the book, that's going to give you a different answer.
Well, I'm glad.
Because I don't know. Spoiler alert for everybody. Jesus was not a fan of people with money.
I mean, me and him have that in common. And it's a little bit disturbing that, what can we call this? Christianity has taken on the side of corporations?
I think we can call it Christianity.
Yeah. They took on the side of corporations, apparently, because they're blessed by AI Jesus. Oh, wait, hold on. Not AI Jesus. Maybe AI Jesus thinks differently.
But in any event, I am really waiting for Friar Bernardi to actually give us something on this. He has to.
I just did a search and there's literally, if I go to news, there's 3 articles.
There's 3 articles. One of them's the one I just read to you. And it doesn't actually say anything that Friar Bernardi said. It just mentions him.
Very sad about this. You would think he would be the ultimate speaker of Jesus AI. Representative, at least.
You would think, but no.
Very sad.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to tell you on that.
At the Vatican.
We, Anyhow, guys, 2025 is going to have some interesting stories from Banati and AI Jesus.
We hope.
And in maybe some sort of way we can convey it, Jesus penis size too. But don't worry about that. We're going to try to avoid that if we can. Anyhow, you guys all forget that last little bit. You enjoy your Christmas. Don't think about that other part. Just open those presents and be in the presence of everyone around you, okay?
That's the real present.
Okay. Okay. And just like, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Merry Christmas.
Up it.
Have a good day. Bye.